welcome to the latest edition of the By The Min MFC podcast. Today, regulars Jay and Busta are joined by the editor of St Mirren magazine, Black and White, Jack Patterson. Jack, welcome along, mate.
Thanks very much, guys.
So, for the first time ever, we've got a guest behind enemy lines, so to speak, and we're also delighted to welcome back Busta after his week's holiday last week, mate. How was it?
That was refreshing.
Well, it's good to have you back. A fantastic win yesterday at Kilmarnock, coming back from behind to record a 2-1 victory. Jay, the fighting spirit in the team that was lacking so much in the first part of the season has come back, and it was a fantastic display yesterday, a really good fight back, a great goal to win it from Lee Irwin. Really, we're turning it on when it matters.
Yeah, it's night and day from earlier in the season. It's a completely different team, and if we've been playing this way with this style of play, but also the motivation and the work effort, we would be nowhere near the relegation zone. We'd probably be looking at possible top six at this stage. But I think that's testament to the players and Barry Clough and the new guys that have came in. Earlier in the season, Kilmarnock going ahead, particularly a freak goal where Longs came out to try and punch, it's collided with Straker's head and went in top corner. I still can't quite believe BBC, Sky and the Motherwell Twitter all gave the goal to the Kilmarnock boy when it quite clearly wasn't. But a goal like that, going 1-0 down at Rugby Park, earlier in the season we would have folded, we would have just chucked it at that point. So to fight back, and not just fight back and get the win, but to dominate. I mean, we had so many chances, it could have been far more than just a one goal victory. So a great result. Obviously, the shine gets taken off slightly when you find out Ross County won as well. But if we keep playing like that and we keep doing what we're doing, then we've got every chance of staying up.
Busta, a massive performance from Lee Irwin yesterday. Hadn't scored since the opening day of the season against St Mirren. Looked a bit devoid of confidence in front of goal, but he took his goal superbly well. And what kind of encouraged me as well is he's always having attempts in goal. His head hasn't dropped throughout the time, which has been a long barren spell in front of goal, certainly.
I don't think, anybody would ever fault his effort and his ability, really, to be honest with you. But even two or three times yesterday, he was cutting in and hitting shots when he should have been maybe squaring it. Even Barakov picked up on it in his post-match interview. But it's good to see that one of them finally went in. And it was a beauty as well, so it was really good to see that.
So we welcome along a St Mirren supporter today ahead of a massive game at Fir Park on Tuesday night, Motherwell versus St Mirren. Jack, for your team on Friday night, a gallant effort, but eventually going down 2-0 to the champions. Possibly a result you would have expected going into the game.
Well, I don't go to see St Mirren get beat. I go to see St Mirren win. We've been in this situation many times before. It was a gallant effort, and we were very, very well organised, which was brilliant to see. We actually played pretty well, albeit I understand it was certainly a more defensive setup that we played, but you're up against quality players, and it was, apart from the penalty, which was debatable and maybe a wee bit unlucky, it did look at one point like it was going to be yet another one goal defeat, which is the number of one goal defeats we've had has been absolutely unbelievable this year.
The home form has been atrocious this season for St Mirren.
That's because you don't understand tactics.
Was that sorry?
That's through you. You're right. It's not been too clever. One victory. No.
It's something they'll surely have to address in the remaining seven games to have any hope of surviving. 7 points adrift at the bottom now, though.
Yeah, we're all in this. We're all in this situation together in a way, because the playoffs bring a completely different added dimension to it, and I can see why people that support the playoff concept are so supportive of it, because it starts to play a bit, you guys will be the same, it starts to play with your mind a wee bit. It's what if this, what if that, what if this? And although you're quite right, 7 points, we're not playing particularly badly, but we're not scoring, and we're now the lowest scorers in the league, incidentally, and your goal difference is now better than ours. But, there's, it's so close. even though we're doing poorly, literally anything can happen. I'm certainly far from panicking. I mean, a lot of people are, but I'm not. You know, we've been here before. You know.
So, to look ahead to the game on Tuesday night, Jay, it's a massive game for both clubs. No mistake about that. The game's under the lights at Fir Park. It's always one I look forward to. It breaks up the week quite nicely. You'd expect a big crowd. Severn will bring a good travelling support. These fixtures are, despite the kind of dread of the consequences of losing the match, it's quite an exciting time, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's a double-edged sword, I suppose. You know, you don't want to be in a relegation zone, but when you're going to games and there's that excitement and anticipation, and you've got something to play for, then, yeah, you know, it adds that, you know, that excitement, that anticipation is why we're all football fans. If you didn't get that, then you would lose interest pretty quickly. So yeah, it's something to be up for. You know, I think we've got to be looked at as favourites now. I think the way we're playing, we should expect to win the match, because I think compared to the previous two games, where I think we were lucky in both games against St Mirren, we're now a completely different team. So I think we should be looking to win the game, but you know, I think the pressure is probably more on St Mirren than on ourselves. You know, I think it's probably a must win for St Mirren, whereas for ourselves, we're in that kind of position where, you know, if it doesn't go our way, we're still in a really good position to at least avoid 12th position. So yeah, it kind of gives you that dimension to the last couple of games of the season, rather than being, you know, mid table. A few games left, we are in a battle, and it's obviously not the battle you want to be in. It would be nice to still be in the European battle that we've been in the last couple of seasons, but it does add that excitement, and it does give you that extra anticipation to go along. So it'll be a good game, but I do fancy us to win the match.
Bastard, at least one other club involved in the battle to stay up and to avoid the playoffs is Ross County. They've had a fantastic run of results since beating us up in Dingwall in February. You wouldn't have seen them go to Tannadice regardless, though, and taking a fantastic 3 points yesterday.
No, as you say, Ross County's run of form has been pretty much unexpected. It's really annoying as well. but to be honest with you, as Barakoff said again in his post-match interview, you know, fair play to them. That's what their aim is, obviously, to win the games. We've just got to concentrate on our own results. But I think we're saying there's at least one other. You did say at least, but I think Partick Thistle are still no clear yet either. I mean, they've got us next Saturday. They've got Celtic during the week, I think. They're 7 points ahead of us. I think we are 7 points ahead in St Mirren. So, you know, if Jack's confident enough that, you know, there's still plenty of time to catch us, there's still plenty of time for Partick Thistle to be drawn into this as well. And much like Jack was saying about the playoffs, I'm quite a big fan of this split. And I think at the bottom end of the table, this year is going to prove how it can have such a big effect, due to the fact that there's going to be probably three or four teams there who all have to play each other at least an hour once from now, and it's going to be really tight.
Jack, we were talking about Partick Thistle there. Excuse me. They got a fantastic point at Pittodrie yesterday. They still are slightly precarious, and Kilmarnock are in a wee bit of a slump as well, having lost their last couple of games. They could get dragged into it. For all the split has got its naysayers, it certainly does provide some interesting moments, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I mean, obviously, you're right. I mean, it's funny, I was just listening to that there, and everybody says exactly the same things. Every club says the same things. Every manager says the same things, because there's nothing left to say, so they just repeat everything that's gone before. If you take a look at Partick Thistle, I like watching Partick Thistle. We beat them up at Fir Hill the last time we played them, but I like watching Partick Thistle. They've got something about them. They move the ball very, very quickly, and they've got a couple of players I would actually quite happily see playing for the Buddies, you know. I don't think that Partick Thistle will get dragged into it now, and I have a sneaky suspicion, and I'm sad to say this because I've spoken to you before about it, Jason. There are two clubs in that Premier League that I would not like to see relegated. One is obviously St Mirren, for obvious reasons, and the other one would be Motherwell, because I've always had a wee sort of soft spot for Motherwell, one or two connections over the years with Motherwell. And it's a shame, you know, but this is what football's all about. It's about merit, and that's one of the reasons I am not the biggest fan of playoffs. For instance, were we to finish second bottom, then, and if there's two relegation places, then we should go down. If you look across the border, some of the, I mean, I don't care how exciting that is. It's great, it's exciting, it's great. But, you know, look up the definition of league. If you finish fourth in a league in England, you can get promoted over the club that's finished second top. That's ridiculous. What's the point of playing the season? Why don't you just play a knockout cup? Okay, I know it's exciting, and I've seen it on TV, it's exciting. It doesn't, to me, make it right, you know. It's all about money. It's all about money at the end of the day, and it's a shame, you know. So I don't want to be on a downer about this, and you can tell I'm certainly making no excuses because my club happens to be at the bottom of the league. This is our position. We've been at the bottom of the league for quite a while. But, you know, over the course of our history, we are a natural top-flight club. I mean, we've only ever been out of the top league something like, I'll just round it up, 20 years out of 137. So where do I expect to find St Mirren? I expect St Mirren to be in the top league. You know, statistically, we're in the top 10 clubs of all time. So, again, I expect to be in the top league. So this is difficult for us. This isn't easy. But you have to stay calm and think your way out of it. And it's quite funny to see some of the comments supporters make. They tend to, I think they panic quicker than the players, actually.
You raised a real interesting point there when you mentioned expectation. And different sets of supporters obviously have different sets of expectations. As a Celtic supporter, you were saying that you expect them to be in the top flight in Scotland.
Well, that's where we've always been. Why do you expect it?
Well, my point there was, though, Danny Lennon removed from his post.
It wasn't removed from his post.
Well, it didn't renew his contract.
That's not the same thing.
Well, okay, Danny Lennon left St Mirren during the summer.
Having been given a new contract and completing this, he had two contracts, he had a 3-year contract and then a 1-year contract. And he got the 1-year, I like Danny Lennon incidentally, he got the 1-year contract on the back of the success they'd had and the fact that the supporters, as ever, were agitated about performances and results. And that's why, and obviously the club, rightly or wrongly, decided not to renew that contract. It's all, everybody's wise after the event, of course, you know.
But do you think, though, that it seemed from an outsider's point of view that he was treated quite harshly, given he brought a cup win to the club and kept them in the top flight, pushing on towards the top six at certain points?
Yeah, you're right. To an outsider particularly, and to a lot of St Mirren supporters, it was treated harshly, but you just have to frame it properly, you know. I mean, I've heard a lot of the press saying things about sacking Danny Lennon, and Danny Lennon was not sacked. That's just a fact.
So we move on to the appointment of Tommy Craig, and that certainly wasn't an appointment that worked out particularly well. You talk about being wise after the event. It was mixed. It was met with a very negative reaction on the message boards and things like that when Tommy Craig got the job. Was that something that surprised yourself?
No, it didn't surprise me. It's very unusual, I think, nowadays in modern football, it's very unusual for a management team, you know, not to either, be victorious together or fall on their sword together. I'm not party to the sort of conversations that went on behind closed doors, but one of my hopes for Tommy was that his coaching ability, which is, I think we'll all agree, is undoubted, would come through in the managerial side. He'd only ever been in charge of one club before, and that was for a very short period in Belgium. So he had a lot of detractors. And you might actually argue in a way that he was an easy target, because some of the comments were pretty harsh to begin with. I was very disappointed, obviously, the way it turned out for Tommy. Obviously I was. But, you know, people were making comments about his age and all the rest of it, you know, and even before he'd really started, there was an awful lot of negativity. As it turns out, the negative people were proved to be correct. And that's fair enough, but sometimes you have to, you could call it a gamble.
So after the gamble of appointing Craig, was the appointment of Teal also a gamble, given his lack of experience as being the number one at any club prior to getting the St Mirren job?
That is a really good question. No, I don't think it was. I don't think it was. Certainly, immediately the team looked far better. We got a couple of good results. Beat Partick Thistle, etc. As I mentioned earlier, we started to look like a reasonably good unit. And they brought in youngsters from the academy. In fact, there were some games we were playing 5 and 6. I don't think supporters realise this. I would say this among supporters. We were playing 5 and 6 kids from our academy in some of our games. It was. I thought it was getting a wee bit ridiculous, but we did start to look like a unit. And he is very ably assisted by a chap by the name of David Longwell, who's in charge of our academy and is one of the most respected of his type in football. So I don't think it was a gamble. I mean, he had the respect of has the respect of the players. Untried, you're right. But again, I've seen this kind of thing before at football clubs, and including my own, and it's worked. So I wouldn't say it's a gamble. I don't know, what would have been a gamble? People were talking about Jimmy Calder, wouldn't people like that, because he's done it before, but is that any less of a gamble? I don't know. I really don't know. It's a difficult one, that.
Well, I suppose that's very similar to our own situation in terms of a possible thing that appointing a new manager is going to be a gamble in one regard or the other, because you don't know what's going to happen until the man's actually in the job. Ian Barraclough was the exact same, quite unfancied initially. He's turning it round and he's building a wee bit of a reputation for himself just now.
Yeah, like you said, you know, I think any appointment is a gamble, no matter who it is. You know, you could have brought in Carlo Ancelotti and it might not have worked out for him, but with Barraclough, especially when he came in, he spoke about how he wanted the team to play and how he had his own philosophy and, you know, this, he wanted that. Nothing was, you know, the first maybe 10 games, we won, you know, I think we won the first two, or we drew one and won one, then we lost 8 in a row or something. But you can see now, you know, the players are starting to pick up on his ways. He is playing that sort of pressing game he kept going on about. So, you know, it's good to see, and hopefully, you know, we can avoid the playoffs and relegation. And then Barraclough can pick up for there and maybe take us back towards the top six.
Jay, I want to talk about matchday experiences. Given that we've got a St Mirren supporter on, this is something that you've talked about a lot in the past. The treatment that we've had at St Mirren in recent seasons has been nothing short of deplorable. I'd like to speak to Jack about what his experience of being a visiting fan going to Fir Park has, and also to see if he's actually encountered some of the similar treatment that we've had in our visits to St Mirren. Jay, I think you'd be able to give us a wee bit more background, especially in the Kettling issue that occurred last season.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you just look back at our last three trips to Paisley, you know, three trips ago you had the absolutely unreal Kettling incident where, you know, someone sets off a smoke bomb, and I think that's the worst I've ever seen policing at a football game, not just in Scotland, but, you know, all over Europe. It was unbelievable.
You've not been to Parkhead then?
Well, yeah, no, but this was absolutely incredible. This was unreal. Kettled, body searches of young fans coming out of toilets. It was absolutely incredible. It was unbelievable. I think they'd radioed in reinforcements from the Lib Dem conference just to deal with these, you know, hooligan Motherwell fans. It was unreal. Spoke to the police afterwards. I sort of took it upon myself to put, you know, to complain and to speak to the police about it, because nobody else seemed to be doing it. And the police said to me that, you know, they have a problem with football stewards, because stewards have a
you know, a tendency to light the paper and stand back. So it's obviously known that stewarding is an issue. But at that game, it was more the police. Our last two visits, though, the stewarding's been horrendous. Two times ago, we had one steward who just decided at half-time to windmill into the Motherwell fans and try and drag someone out for no apparent reason. And then the last trip there, we had pretty much the same thing. Motherwell fans were left to just support their team for the first half. Then around half-time, the stewards started, forcing their way in, causing situations that weren't there, and then to cap it all off on the way out, there was one steward offering Motherwell fans a fight in the car park. It was absolutely unreal, and I've been to Celtic Park plenty of times, been to Ibrox, and the stewarding and the police in there is shocking, but I've never seen anything quite as bad as what I've seen at St Mirren Park the last few years.
Yeah, listen, let's break this little thing down into a few segments. I've actually had conversations with our chief executive and correspondence with him over this, including the Motherwell game, or the Motherwell experiences, I may add. So let's break it down a little bit. This could be a very long podcast. Let's see. First of all, let's take the supporters. I think you will find that every single St Mirren supporter, to a man and woman and child, is on your side here. We have experienced, now I am not going to just hammer into the police, because there are probably folks on every side, and you can actually start, if you like, with the most ridiculous example, which would be Celtic supporters effectively, I don't give a damn how many there are, being allowed to stand in a stadium that's all seated with all the relevant safety requirements, and just completely flout that and be allowed by the same police that you're talking is giving your club and your supporters a bit of hassle. So that's the first flaw. In other words, they're effectively breaking, if not the rule, but the law, the rules. It's a bit of both, actually, I think. Secondly, we have, at one point in our life in St Mirren Park 2, we have experienced the season ticket holders being frisked as they go through season ticket gates by the police, etc., which is, that had to be complained about. Our board and our chief executive have been aware of this on an ongoing basis. They do seem to find it very difficult at times, and I really do feel for them. Believe you me, St Mirren Football Club do not want to scare supporters of any club away from our stadium, because that is a financial disaster for any club. I'll be honest with you, I don't go to Celtic Park anymore. I saw incidents at Celtic Park where 12-year-old girls were being thrown out of the stadium for standing up, being told to sit in seats, all sorts of issues, being told to sit in seats that didn't actually have a seat to sit on. It was just a metal frame. I mean, honestly, I've seen at Celtic Park again, I've seen, actually complained to a senior police officer at half time during a game. I was sitting with a friend of mine who's a councillor in Paisley, and we watched a senior steward, a supervisor, stand with his back to the pitch, looking at St Mirren supporters and drawing his hand across his throat and then pointing to people who were sitting doing nothing. And we actually spoke to the police at half time and said, look, just keep an eye on this, because there were 2,500 St Mirren supporters in that corner. Some of our directors were in amongst them because they'd heard these stories and had gone to sit in amongst the supporters to watch what was going on. And the police officer's answer to me was, you know, watching the game, pal. And I just said, forget it. It's pointless. Forget it. Back to St Mirren Park. So we've all had issues with that. We've been told if we've stood up in the west stand, which is the stand to your right, we've stood up maybe to take stuff out of our pockets, maybe to shake our legs if it's cold or whatever, and we've had stewards coming up and telling us to sit down while 2,000 Celtic supporters at the end of the ground are all standing up. So we've had these issues. As for the kettling thing, Jason kindly sort of patched me into that kind of stuff, and I've passed all of that on to the club. The problem the club has is probably the same problem that every club has with the police and the stewards. The stewards blame the police, and the police blame the stewards, and nobody takes responsibility. And I've said, well, we do not want Motherwell supporters, I've sat in the West Stand watching visiting supporters standing up, jumping up and down, singing songs, And the stewards and or the police gone up to them, and we've all said, watch this. They're going to tell them to sit down. Watch this. Leave them, and folks shout and leave them alone, you know, but they won't do it when it's Celtic. So, you know, it is a problem, and we'll hold our hands up to it, and I think the club are trying to address it, but it is very problematic. The other thing you might be interested in, and sorry to go on about this at length, but at St Mirren Park, that is a state-of-the-art football ground. Every system that ground has, there is nothing more advanced than it, including the cameras and the equipment the police use. And it's very often I've had stewards saying to me, I'm being told from the control room to do this. And, you know, we've said, go away, not quite in those terms, but go away. But they can zero in, they can read the ticket you're holding in your hand. So to be fair, and I'm not defending this, but to be fair, they may well spot incidents that people in the crowd can't spot. As for the challenging you to a fight, well, I mean, that's the type of thing that's going to happen, or could happen anywhere. It's indefensible, and it's amateurish, and it's bad practice, and it's everything that's wrong with the stewarding of football matches. But you do get idiots, control freaks, call them what you like, in every walk of life, including the police, including stewards, including, you know, parking wardens, you name it. It doesn't make it right. I'm very sorry you've had these experiences. I'll just finish. As for Fir Park, I've never really had any problems at Fir Park, bar, I think, twice, I think, when we've been searched and treated quite badly as we've been going in. But other than that, I've never had anything other than that. And it's part of the course. It's ridiculous the way football supporters are treated nowadays.
Just to sort of Just to sort of back you up here as well. A couple of years ago, you know, we had the same... We had a similar situation to yourself where, you know, we were being told to sit down, don't do this, don't do that. And, you know, I think a lot of people approach the club on it, and the club and the fans have basically come to some sort of agreement where as long as they're behaving themselves, they can actually, you know, stand up, support their team. Because what was happening was people were coming over and saying to the fans, you sit down, you sit down, you sit down. And then somebody would start a chant, stand up for the Motherwell, and everybody would just stand back up again, singing songs. Even as you mentioned Celtic, I'm sure, I think it was Rangers, asked, you know, the stewards or the police, it was, I can't remember too. I says, why are you coming out to us? Why are you not saying nothing to them? And their answer was, there's too many of them.
That's
and you're like, there's no logic in that whatsoever. I agree with you on that.
Well, I mean, we used to say, if they took two or three of these Celtic supporters, and I don't want to pick on any club here, including Celtic, but that's what they do. They did it again. There is a defiant side to this, not very nice actually, but nonetheless, if the police went in and took three from the front row and put them out, the rest would sit down. In my view, a tannoy announcement or my actual overall plan, and I put this to the club, they weren't keen on it, was that the referee should be instructed that if they don't sit down en masse, the game will be stopped because it's not safe. Bear in mind, it's an all-seated stand. It's designed for seating. It's not designed for standing. There's plenty of room between the seats, but it's different from when you put, like St Mirren Park, number one, we had seats on what was previously terracing, and there was an awful lot more room to mill about, you know. And we've seen people falling over chairs and seats, etc., at Celtic games. One of the games, the Celtic supporters fell over each other so much, they fell over the boundary wall and broke an advertising hoarding. You know, so, you know, there's a threat to safety, but the police still, despite all this technology and cameras, they still allow this to happen. So, to my mind, when it comes to that, the police have got powers at football matches. They can stop a football match for safety considerations at any point. So really you've got to point the finger of blame at the end of the day to the people with the power, and that's got to be the police and the match commander.
Working with the club in terms of the supporters and the club coming together, it's greatly improved the atmosphere amongst at home games as well. There's a fantastic atmosphere at Fir Park that was completely lacking. It was dead for many, many years. It's now an enjoyable experience going along. If you want to go along and have a sing-song and stand up and watch the game, you can. Whereas there's plenty of family sections and everything else where kids can watch the game unrestricted. They perhaps won't hear some of the more colourful language that you'll hear in certain sections of the ground as well. Which, I suppose, that's maybe a debate for another day, but the new stadium at St Mirren doesn't seem to be the most atmospheric in comparison to Love Street. We've had many suggestions that we will be moving sometime in the near future from Fir Park. It's been considered maybe that we've overrun its course and it's too costly to sustain. How have you found the transition to the new stadium?
Another good question. I'd be very careful. I would actually go as far as to say that St Mirren Park 1, Love Street, was better for St Mirren than Fir Park is for Motherwell. We find Fir Park very old-fashioned when we go now. I mean, it does feel very, very old-fashioned. Incidentally, if you go to Capello, which is actually my favourite old-fashioned ground, we obviously go there when we play, so there's always an atmosphere, but all the angles and roof stands, it makes it real interesting. Under the lights, especially, fantastic. But you have to be careful. Many of us felt that we would have problems when we moved. You're effectively playing football in a hospital atmosphere. You're moving to us. I mean, that football ground is now 5 years old. It looks the same as it was the day it was built. Nothing rusts, nothing ages. It might get a bit dirty here and there, but that's about it. And as I say, it's all state of the art. So that ground is, if there's no development, that ground is going to look the same in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. But everything that you've invested in a football ground, your heart, your soul, your passion, your disappointments, your likes, your dislikes, you leave that behind when you move to a new ground. And of course, the new ground looks the same as all the other new grounds do. I mean, you've heard Rangers, for instance, saying they've had problems with the atmosphere because St Mirren Park, Forth Bank even, Ibrox, Livingston, they're all basically the same. They're just different sizes, but they're all basically the same. They're four stands, all seated, relatively speaking, state-of-the-art, and it's sterile. And then you've got the stewards saying don't stand up, but the big problem you've got, and St Mirren tried to address it, when we moved into St Mirren Park 2, we allowed the supporters to come along and choose their seats. But of course, many people moved away from the people that stood beside for 20, 30 years. And that broke up a lot of what you're talking about. And St Mirren at the moment are trying to address this. Not so much with, well, the phrase has been used, singing section. But, I mean, you talk about, Fir Park's not bad. It's not Fir Park that I remember. It's not. There is definitely, I think everyone will probably agree with this. Sorry to prattle on again. There's a flattening of atmosphere at a lot of football grounds now. And I remember going to Fir Park and the place was crackling. It's not crackling. The greatest of respect, you've got a bunch of wee kids in one corner kicking up a din, and the rest of the people, a bit like you get at St Mirren Park. When it does kick off at St Mirren Park, it's quite good because it's genuine. It spreads right through the stands. And that's something that if we were more successful on the pitch, we would definitely be seeing more of. But I would just say, if you go to a new ground at some point, you take as much of the old ground with you. You know, signage, names, everything. You just take the lot, because you need to brand it. We've got huge logos in all the stands that they've tried very, very hard, but you can't recreate a place that you've been playing football in for 14, 15 years. It's very difficult.
James,
I don't think.
Sorry, I need to go back there.
I was going to say, in the whole stadium thing, there's no chance of us moving stadium. Not a chance in hell. It's no financially viable.
I think it's got to be weighted up, though, the cost of maintaining, for instance, the structure of the main stand, the south stand. There's a lot of problems there as well that they've had to sort out over the years. It's a yearly maintenance cost that perhaps could be eradicated by moving stadium. So,
are you going to be able to fork out £8 million for a new stadium?
It'll cost you more than that, I'll tell you. I tend to agree with you, actually. You face the same problem we did. When we were at the old ground, if you remember trying to think back a wee bit, The North Bank, which was like our spiritual kind of home within the ground, you know, the North Bank was unbelievable. That was a part of the ground with a big black and white stripy roof on it. The cost of taking that roof off was horrendous because it was asbestos. And the club, frankly, just what you're saying there, the club couldn't afford to strip that roof and re-roof that, you know, it's very expensive to get rid of asbestos. And that's only a roof. But, you know, the ground was crumbling, you know, and all sorts of... The only place it wasn't crumbling was the Caledonia Stand, which was supposed to be the first of four stands that were going to be built. And that's the big stand behind the goal, you know. And Motherwell have kind of done the same thing with that big stand they've built, and it kind of makes it look lopsided and stuff like that. We did the same thing.
Jay, is it something that you see happening in the near future, Motherwell uprooting and moving elsewhere?
I hope not. I don't think... I'd be surprised if there's very many Motherwell fans that would like to see that happening. I think that, you know, just everything Jack said about St Mirren Park and the likes of Livingston and those kind of grounds, I think that's probably what we'd be looking at. You know, it's like the IKEA flat pack.
Definitely.
Sort of, you know, one, you know, it's just the same model for every team. And there's nothing good about that. There's nothing great about that. You know, Firth Park sometimes gets a bit of pelters from opposition fans, you know, the three quarters completed main stand and things like that. But that's what gives you character. That's what gives your football stadium character. And, you know, we're kind of moving away from that and moving towards, you know, the sterile, as Jack said, hospital-like football grounds. And the problem is that once you go that direction, you then eradicate all the atmosphere. And then in a couple of generations' time, you might just have fans turning up who don't even know that you're supposed to create an atmosphere at football. You know, they might think you're meant to sit and watch it like you sit and watch the tennis. So it's all kind of, you know, you don't want to eradicate these things. You want to be going to Firth Park. Yeah, the East Stand might be fun to bits, but, you know, it's our East Stand. And I must admit, I'd find it really, really difficult if we did move stadium. I think that might be the odd game that I would maybe find it much more enjoyable to stay in the pub rather than go and sit in a flat pack Firth Park. So it's something, I have no idea whether it will happen. Obviously, no idea what Les Hutchison's long-term plans are. You don't know what will happen in the future with the Welsh Society. So there's a lot of questions over not just where we're going to be playing, but, you know, who's going to be running the club and things like that. But I would hope to God it doesn't happen.
See, I'm a wee bit surprised at the kind of perception of kids making a din accusation there. Because I really think that the colour...
It wasn't an accusation, it was an observation. It wasn't an accusation.
Well, all due respect to that as well, I'm a 31-year-old man, and, you know, I'm not right in the middle of them. I sit near them, and there's a lot more people older than me, younger than me, similar age to me. So, you know, I mean, it's an accusation or an observation that gets thrown about because there's maybe a couple of young boys sitting in the front row. And I do find it kind of disrespectful, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. You possibly picked me up slightly wrong. The point I was trying to make was it's almost artificially conceived. You're not with me in this at all. I'll go back to what I said before. It's a bunch of kids in a corner kicking up a din, and good luck to them. That's excellent. Nobody's having a go at it at all. The point I was trying to make was the natural crackle that you get travelling through a crowd, travelling round a football ground. Not about disrespect. It's just about what it really is. It's been created by Motherwell in an attempt to replace what they'd lost. Now, there's the key to the whole thing. We're in the same boat. But what we find is that when it does kick off, it does travel through the stands. The minute there's a bit of hope, like there was the other night, it crackled along through the west stand, travelled through the stands. And any time I've been at Motherwell recently, I haven't seen that. It's as if this corner have completely taken the job on. And good luck to them. Nobody's having a go at them for it, but by themselves. It's difficult for clubs now, you see. It's a social thing. It's society. If I could go to Firth Park and find, just for Tom's sake, 6,000 people, say a couple of thousands of us and 4,000 or 5,000 of you, all sitting there shouting their heads off, nobody would be happier than me. Oh, what did I shout at the football?
It's something that's perhaps been eradicated or been certainly softened by all-seater stadia as well, surely.
If you've got
a situation where 10,000 people, well, those were the days, mind you, 10,000 going to Fir Park, but all standing close together, that creates an atmosphere on its own. I say that perhaps the kind of close relations between quite a lot of the teams as well means that there's not that kind of needle until the bigger games as well. So that maybe distinguishes some of the atmosphere.
I wouldn't argue with that. I certainly wouldn't argue with that. I still like going to Fir Park. It can be very atmospheric. I mean, we played Hearts in the semi-final of the League Cup at Fir Park, and we were in that stand behind the goal, you know, the smaller of the two stands, and the atmosphere was brilliant, and absolutely brilliant. And that's, again, it's all seated. But you're right, Jason, you're absolutely right. All seated stadia have changed the way that people view football, you know. There's no doubt at all about it. Hard to turn the clock back, I'm telling you.
See, the end section that you were talking about, you know, that's just where people have started to gather. You know, anybody who wants to get up, get involved, sing, that's where they go. They go stand in there.
Sure.
You mentioned, you know, it's been put together by Motherwell. As far as I'm aware, you know, the actual club had nothing to do with everybody gathering there. Don't get me wrong, the wee boys who've started the group, you know, they're very much in touch with the club as far as I'm aware, as well as to putting on displays and things like that. But, you know, that was just where everybody had went. And even before my time, as far as I'm aware, that's where a lot of people had went. You know, so it's all about who wants to get involved. It's all right when we're winning 4-0 against Hamilton and yeah. your full place goes up and gives it a Motherwell, Motherwell, Motherwell chant or whatever. But, you know, when you're trying to get behind the team and it's a draw, it's 0-0, you'll find that anybody who's interested in G the team up is going to be in these sort of two or three sections at the end there.
I know, I feel like we're only creating a bit of a fan club for them here, but you've got to think about what they do in terms of they've done the food drive and things like that. They've been good. They take Motherwell as a community and they do a lot of good work, so long may that continue, certainly. I think their work is sometimes kind of put down by many and maybe disregarded, when really I think they brought a lot of colour and really been excellent for the club, and the players acknowledge it very regularly that the support they get, particularly from that section, makes a difference. So long may it continue in that regard.
Jason, did you say they did a food drive type thing? Is that what you said there?
Oh, that was Sparrow, but yeah, they did a food bank collection at Fir Park and collected, I think it was a big van load of for food for a local Lanarkshire food bank.
I know this is a ridiculous conversation to have when we're talking about football, but I'm really pleased to hear that, and that's why I don't want anyone to think that we're denigrating these kids or whatever. Not at all. That's really good. The word community was used there as well. We've done something along the same lines. We've had a couple of collections for food banks. I don't know when to go into the politics of this, but my goodness me, what a world we live in when Scotland has to have food banks. Nonetheless, to their credit, Hibernian were really struggling in the league, and they got wind of this, and they came along, and their supporters brought food with them on their supporters' buses and added it to the food collections that St Mirren were having. So it's good to hear that that's been done at Motherwell as well. A lot of people here probably aren't aware of that. It's good. Well done.
Well, guys, all we can do now is look forward to the big game on Tuesday night. Jack, thank you very much for your time. It's been much appreciated. Although we hope you don't have a very good night on Tuesday, it must be said.
Well, just best of luck, guys. You know, I mean, football's football. I just feel it's not going to make a great deal of difference at the moment. I think we may both find that, you know, for instance, if we stay where we are, then we will be relegated. The question for Motherwell then is, can they catch Ross County? And if they can't, then they've got to see off a playoff and could indeed join St Mirren. Because I don't think any of these two clubs at the moment are going to finish any higher than, you know, bottom and second bottom. I just have a feeling about that. I just think Ross County have galvanised, and one of the lads there used the phrase, it's a different team. Well, Ross County's a different team. They've done this for, what, 3 or 4 years now, completely changing their playing staff at Christmas. I don't know, guys. We might find that we're having this conversation again. Hopefully not, but it's two First Division clubs rather than just one, you know. So, no, I hope we win. If it's a case of us or you, then I'm afraid it's got to be you guys. So, we have to play you twice, and you owe us two. Well, you basically, you owe us 6 points for the six you've kindly robbed from us this season.
Well, there's a no returns policy, unfortunately, so we're not getting them. Jay, Buster, thank you very much, guys. We'll be back on Wednesday for a quick recap of the St Mirren game and to look forward to Partick Thistle on Saturday.
Aye, sounds good.
No bother, man.
You've been listening to the By The Men MFC podcast. As I say, we'll be back on Wednesday. Until then, thank you.